Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Kadira Aisha Muhammad on Blog Talk Radio, Religion Means Alive segment. I'm your host for tonight, and I'm on air Thursdays, Saturdays, and Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, inshallah. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us life today, being able to be woke and conscious and have access and use of our limbs. Some people didn't wake up this morning, and this is something that we should be extremely thankful for because, you know, Allah gave us a second chance to seek Him for sincere tawbah. For our actions, our deeds, our sins, our misgivings to other people and to ourselves. You know, we have to remind ourselves that it's not just other people that we do things to and it has a negative outcome. We do things to ourselves that result in a negative outcome. And you may say, well, what would that be? What could that possibly be? Well, you know, for instance, you know, when people abuse drugs or when people, you know, for example, prostitutes, when people prostitute themselves and do anything that's degrading or harmful that could cause your body harm, that's something that you're doing evil to yourself. There are numerous things that people do to other people on a daily basis, sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously. But there should be come a point in a time where you should wake up and say to yourself, enough is enough. Like, I mean, you know, like we're all adults. You know, most of the people that listen to my show are adults. You know, I do have a few teenagers that listen to my show. But, you know, even for them listening to this show, the topic that is for tonight is consequences of your actions. Why do people feel like they can go around hurting, belittling, and destroying the lives of others without any backlash? You know, maybe those people won't attack you. Maybe those people won't hurt you. But you have to die. You have to die. And you have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah to attest for everything that you have done on this earth, good and bad. And anything that you have not sought complete forgiveness from Allah for, you're going to be held accountable for those things. This is why, you know, it's extremely, extremely important when you do make sincere tawbah that you ask Allah to forgive you for the things unknown and known, forgotten and, you know, that you remember. This is something, because, I mean, I know I wouldn't want to stand before Allah on the day of judgment and I forgot this one thing that, you know, I totally forgot about. But, you know, we know that every deed that you do, every deed, good or bad or indifferent, whatever have you, is recorded. It's going to be either recorded, you know, and it's going to weigh heavy on your right scale, which is the good, or it's going to weigh heavy on your left scale, which is the bad. So, you know, when you seek Allah for forgiveness from anything that you have done, remember, ask Him for things that you have forgotten, because He hasn't forgotten, and your book has not forgotten. It's written in it. You know, this is something, as you know, as adults, we have to take responsibility for. We have to take responsibility for our actions because, you know, I see people, and I'm living through this right now, where somebody is constantly, consistently lying on me every day. Anything that comes out their mouth about me is a lie. any and everything that they mention about me is a lie. And, you know, it infuriates me because I know the truth. I know Allah knows the truth. That person knows the truth. But they continue to spew this hate about me every day. Every day it's something different, and it's always a lie. One thing that I hold myself with responsibility for my actions is that I don't treat people unkind because I don't like people to be unkind to me. I live by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And anybody will tell you that I'm not a mean person. Some people will tell you that I'm evil, malicious, you know, all kinds of things. But this is what you have to ask yourself. Not that I'm mean and malicious. It's that I won't let you continue to use me in the manner that you see fit. So when you cut off all ties with things, people have a tendency to confuse the situation and start labeling it as something that it's not. And that's the case. Me, I will do a show, inshallah, in the future on forgiveness, because that's something that I have an extremely hard time with. And I know that, you know, this is something that I have to work on myself, but I have a hard time forgiving people who continue to lie, belittle, degrade me. I have a very hard time with that. And even after you do forgive these people, they still continue to do it. So it's very hard for me to, you know, say that I want to have a relationship with somebody who I know is a known liar, who continues to do it, and I'm going to forgive them, and I know they're going to continue to lie on me. That's something that I struggle with, and I'll do a show on forgiveness, because that's you know, in a whole separate category, and that could take up a lot of time. But, you know, I tell people all the time, and people come to me with some very messed up situations, things that I don't ask for. You know, I don't ask to be sought out as sort of a, you know, a counselor or, you know, a shoulder to lean on. I guess, you know, I just have that kind of perception where people feel like they can reach out to me. And I'm not telling nobody not to, because I have helped, alhamdulillah, I have helped some people in some very dire situations, and I don't think that if that listening ear for them, that some situations could have really got out of hand, or, you know, some really bad things could have happened. So I'm not telling nobody not to contact me, continue to do so. But, you know, I never ask for people, you know, to contact me, but that's just something that you take on when you have that kind of persona about yourself. People feel like you're easy to talk to and you're gentle and you're kind. And, you know, I tell people all the time, don't do malicious things. And, you know, they come across our mind and, you know, we feel the rage and we feel the anger a lot of times with situations that, you know, may be on the brink of getting out of control. So, you know, it's kind of hard. We're human. We're human, and that's something that, you know, is a struggle for anybody who is human, for, you know, just being able to take the time and try to set aside to forgive someone who has done something to you. But this is not really, I'm not talking about individuals in this situation. I'm talking about when we have to stand before Allah for all of the actions that we have committed against people. So, you know, we should be very mindful of those things because, you know, everything is recorded. You know, and that's, you know, I'm going to keep stating that throughout this call. Everything that we do is recorded. You know, so something that I always ask the law, you know, please forgive me if I have misstated anything. My intention is not to deceive anyone or, you know, misconstrue anything. I want to make sure people understand what our responsibilities are here on earth so that when we do have to stand before a law, that we don't suffer the consequences of our actions. Because every action that you committed will have a consequence behind it. It's not easy because you see people day to day and you say to yourself, why is it that these people who have done some of the most horrible things on earth are not being, you know, prosecuted or not being judged or, you know, not locked up or anything like that? And I say this, you know, I always say you have to meet your creator. You always have to meet your creator, no matter who you are, no matter what faith you are. If you're a human being, mankind and jinn, we know this as Muslims, when you die, you're going to have to stand before Allah with your book open. So anything that you may have done here on this earth to someone and you thought you got away with it or you didn't get caught for, you know, whatever you did, and you may have killed 1,000 people and you only got charged, you know, charged with 2 murders or whatever like that, and they don't know about the other, you know, 1,000 that you committed. When you stand before Allah, that is written. It's already documented. So it's not like you're going to get away with anything to any and everyone, not just Muslims, you know, and for the non-Muslims that are listening onto the call, if you're a Christian, you understand that when you die, you're going to be the day of judgment. And that's the same thing as the day of Yama Kiyama that I'm referencing to, the day of judgment. You believe in this just as well as we do. But you believing that Jesus died for your sins is not going to shield you from this. And this is why. In Christianity, and I'm going to speak on this because I was born and raised Christian. And you know, a lot of people, you know, like to debate with me on this. And this is what I always say. Before I became Muslim, I used to believe what Christians believed about, you know, Isa dying on the cross. I used to believe that. I didn't totally believe it, which is the difference. I didn't totally believe that. But you thinking that a man who was with sin, who was not perfect, who was not God, died for your sins. First, you were born with sin because, you know, as Christians, they believe that, you know, because Eve was disobedient to God, that God cursed her with the pains of childbirth. So every child you believe is born into sin, unless they're baptized or Christian or whatever have you, they incur that sin. And if they die before the age of puberty, that they're going to hell. And they'll tell you different that, no, that doesn't mean it. Yes, it does. If you're not Christian or baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you believe that if an innocent child dies, it's going to hell because it wasn't Christian. I mean, and I'm not going to argue anybody on it. That's what I was taught to believe. Once you become of age, you are to be baptized in the church, and then you have to believe that Jesus died for your sins or you're going to go to hell. You're going to be damned to hell forever. So what does that mean? What does that mean? You'll find out that a lot of people who committed some of the very most heinous crimes, will often say that they found God. And they're referring to the Christian aspect of God. Why? Because once they say that they believe that Jesus died on the cross, they believe that all their sins that they ever committed is wiped away. And any future sins that they commit will be expunged because they believe in this. Now, as Muslims, this is where the difference is between Christianity and Islam. We believe that children are born, Eve did, they were forgiven by Allah for that transgression. Their punishment was to be cast out of the Garden of Eden, or paradise, and to dwell on the earth. That was their punishment. This is why we say this dunya is a test for us. This is our trial. This is our punishment. This is our punishment in this life, and this is why we have to be careful of the things that we do here on earth. We do not believe that children who are not baptized or if they die before the age of puberty will go to hell. We actually believe that they are automatically given paradise because they're innocent. So once a child becomes a puberty, which would mean for young girls, they receive their menses or their period, and for men, for young boys, that would mean, you know, they start to have ejaculations or facial hair, change in the voice, things like that, things that mark puberty, which show that they are now aware and they're responsible for their sins. So, take your shahada. It's the same thing as if you're being, your slate is being wiped clean. So any sins that you have committed before then, any sins that you have committed before your shahada, not saying that you were born Muslim, this is different for people who revert to Islam, that if you took your shahada, your slate is wiped clean. So me, I may still have some incurred sin because I've taken my shahada 22 years ago. Now, if somebody who was a serial killer honestly, wholeheartedly testified and gave the declaration of the shahada today, like five minutes ago, they are better than me. As long as they're sincere and they truly accepted the declaration of Islam, accepting, you know, Allah as the only God with no partners or associates, and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger and the last prophet, then he is better than me. Even if he was a serial killer, he is better than me now because his slate is clean. But if he does any other sins, he has to do the same thing that I do, seek sincere tawbah with Allah for my transgression. Now, there are different instances in certain situations that when you seek forgiveness from Allah, which we call tawbah, you can't go back doing what you used to do. Like, you know, if you knew that drinking was one of, you know, was a sin that you had a problem with, that you partook in often, when you go to Allah, you have to be sincere, like, Allah, please, you know, don't let me keep falling back into that. Even if you have to seek out professional help, you know, to help you get through that addiction. And I know that none of us will be perfect, and a lot of us will fall back into those old habits. But this is the key here. The key is that you never think that your sin is too great for Allah to forgive you. Now, with tawbah, yes, you're supposed to seek forgiveness from Allah. You're supposed to abstain from the sin that you committed as much as possible. Like, you know, don't think that you're going to commit it again. Try to do everything to stay away from that particular sin. And don't get involved in things that would bring you into that sin. But if you fell back into that sin, still seek Allah out for forgiveness. If you have thoughts in your head, and I'm going to just say this, if you have thoughts in your head where you keep saying, oh, Allah ain't going to forgive me, he's not going to forgive me, I mean, like I'm a mess, look what I've done, Allah, he can't possibly forgive me for this. This is nothing but the shaitan. That's nothing but the shaitan trying to deter you from seeking Allah's forgiveness. Because he doesn't want you to repent for those sins. He wants your scale to weigh heavy. And he wants you just to say, okay, well, since I committed that sin and I can't stop committing that sin, I'm going to just keep on doing it anyway because I know Allah is not going to forgive me. And that's not the case. We should still, no matter how many times we have to, even if it's a million times, we have to keep going back to Allah to seek his forgiveness for that sin. We should do it and still try to refrain from it as much as we can. And, you know, sometimes, you know, like when people have drug problems, a serious illness, and people don't understand that it's real. Like, you know, some people would say the constant, you know, use of drugs, people just do it because they want to do it. And unless you have dealt with someone who was addicted to some kind of substance, you will never understand it, or if you have not been through it yourself. And I'm not just saying drugs, because you can have addictions to other things. Like, I have a real bad habit, and I know people may say, well, that's not really addiction. I have addiction. I have to eat sunflower seeds every day. And you may say, come on, sunflower seeds. I have to eat sunflower seeds every day. If sunflower seeds every day, I go through almost like a withdrawal. And it's not, like, I've gotten up, I'm talking about like 12 o'clock at night, and walked to Wawa just to get me a bag of sunflower seeds. I order cases, it's sad, I order cases of sunflower seeds from Amazon. I order about 4 cases a month, and each box comes 20 bags. Yeah, it's bad. I have a real bad addiction to sunflower seeds. And, you know, it's a real addiction. And, you know, my doctor gets on me because she's like, your sodium intake is crazy. But alhamdulillah, I don't have high blood pressure. I actually have low blood pressure. My normal blood pressure is like 98 over 68. Like, I have real low blood pressure. And, you know, my doctor tells me all the time that, you know, you better be thankful that you don't have high blood pressure, because the way you eat the sunflower seeds could really, really hurt you from the consumption of the sodium alone. Could really, you know, be harmful to my health. And I've tried to cut back. I tried a lot to, you know, cut back on eating it, but it's addiction. Like, I have to have them, and I can only eat barbecue. Like, I can't eat plain or any of those other flavors. I can't eat any other brand except David's. So it's a real addiction. And, you know, you may say, oh, no, that's not. It's something. There's a chemical imbalance that I have for sunflower seeds. And, yes, that's on a minor scale of addiction. It's not really that serious. You know, I should be mindful of it. It's not like I'm using heroin or crack or things like that. But I can sympathize with these people when I understand where they come from. And why I said that everyone will have, you will suffer the consequences of your actions is because, like I said, the intake of sodium that I have could be really doing something really bad to my body. And I know consciously that it's doing something bad, but I subconsciously, I don't care. I just want to keep eating sunflower seeds. And that's where we have to be mindful, because Allah is restoring our soul day to day. When you go to sleep, your soul is taken out of your body. You could walk out the house and, God forbid, something could happen to you. When you have an addiction to whatever you have an addiction to, it's taking a toll on your body. And it might not just be physically. It could be mentally taking a toll on your body. You know, like a lot of people who abuse drugs or abuse different things have other underlying issues that aggravate and exacerbate the situation. So don't think that, you know, just you being bad to people or being ignorant to people won't have, you know, a consequence. Same thing, like I said, with the analogy that I gave as far as having an addiction to a drug or whatever have you. But there has to come a time when you have to say, as an adult, and I mean, some people will maybe never get to this adulthood status or this feeling as an adult. Like, when do you grow up? And when do you stop trying to use people and manipulate people for your own benefit? When will you stop using the woe is me and the pull on a person's strings to get what you want? I mean, when do we consciously stop that? Because there are some people who will use that and know how to maneuver and how to manipulate people just to get what they want, to make you feel bad, to play reverse psychology on you. And I'll give you an example. Here's an example. You're at work, and you and a couple of team members, you know, you're working on a project or whatever, and they know that they don't have the skills to complete the project, but they know that you, not only the drive, the energy, they know that you have the knowledge to be able to knock this out in a shorter time than what they could possibly do. But you're all responsible for working on this project together. So, you know, it's for y'all. And these other three people constantly come up with excuses not to do it because they know that you don't want to be a failure, so you're going to keep doing their portion of the project. And they're not going to put anything into it. But when it's time to present that project to your manager, best believe that they're going to take credit for it. They're going to take all the credit for it. And you can't even speak out against it because it was a group effort. And if you told your boss that, hey, they didn't participate, hey, they didn't do that, they would have came to you and said, your boss would have said to you, well, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you let me know that they weren't participating? And again, you don't want to look like the bad person and rat your teammates out, so you just suck it up, let them take credit for what you did, and, you know, just go about your business. Those three people that took the credit for it, they have to have some kind of consequence for that particular action that they did. And you may say, okay, when they need help with something, I'm not going to help them. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Oh, I know that they got a difficult customer. I'm not, you know, I know what she needs, and I'm not going to give it to her and things like that. But then what does that do? That makes you just as bad as them because now you're looking for ways to undermine them because they undermined you. So how do we deal with these kind of situations? How do we deal with these kind of situations? Well, this is what I do, and, you know, this is just a suggestion. It's, you know, not saying that you have to do what Quadira does. You know, there's a saying that somebody fools you once, shame on them. Fools you twice, shame on you. Three times, is this a rat? How I handle things is, I don't, you know, I know that Allah will deal with everyone in a just manner as he sees fit. You know, when it's that time, you'll get exactly what you deserve. You know, I don't have to, you know, wish bad on you, put the iron on you. I ain't doing none of that because, you know, I know what type of person I am. Allah knows what type of person I am, and you know what type of person I am. So I'm going to leave you to yourself, and that's exactly how I do it. People be like, well, why do you seem all happy? Because you know what? What Quadira can't control, she gives to Allah. I don't harbor that in the inside and let that consume me and eat me and stuff like that. People want to treat me bad. People want to be mean to me. I leave you to yourself. And you may say, what does that mean, leave you to yourself? I cut you off and I leave you to yourself. If I see you in the street, I say, well, Waleh, come have a good day. How you doing? How the family doing? Everybody all right? Okay, have a good one. And keep it moving. But that interaction that you would have normally gotten from me, you know, where I would have took time out and really dedicated it to you, no, I'm not doing that no more. I'm not going to let somebody constantly and consistently use me for their own devices and then want to complain about the person using you. That's something that really, you know, it just bothers me when people continually and constantly complain about what you allow. You only get what you allow. And for me, my saying is, Quadira don't allow much, and I don't. People know that you're a good person. Let me just set this straight. People know from the door who they can manipulate, who they can use, and who they can do reverse psychology on to try to make you feel bad, because they already have studied your character. They have already studied your character, and they know that you have a good spirit. They know that you have a good heart, and they prey on this. People prey on this. People look for that. Oh, I know I'm going to have a come up. I know what to do. I know what to say. I know how to act. I know how to do certain things. This is what people, predators, do. They bait you. They put little feelers out there. And when they see you grab, they like, oh, I got it. I got them. I got them. But you have to remember, you only get what you allow. So if you have an ungood feeling about something that somebody's doing, cut it off. Cut it off. For example, I'll give you an example here. You're working, and one of your coworkers always come back from lunch late. Always come back from lunch late. And you cover for this person because you know that they got a family and things like this. So you cover for them so they don't get in trouble for coming back from lunch late. And the person has no good reason for coming back late from lunch. Ain't like they're going to the hospital, go see somebody, or, you know, something, they had to take care of some important business. It's just that they have the attitude that they want to just come back from lunch late, and they know that you want to cover for them no matter what. So this person needs to suffer the consequences of their actions. And I'm gonna give you a perfect example for this. I'm gonna give you a perfect example for this. Several years ago, I used to work in a certain department. I'm not going to name people because they could be listening. I'm not going to name anything, but I'm going to just give you the scenario of what happened. Several years ago, I worked in a department, and we used to have to, when we worked in customer service, we had to, sign in to log in for work on a phone. And we had to put, like, in our codes and our passwords and stuff like that. So we had to do this every morning. Like, when we went to lunch, we had to sign in on the phone, sign off, you know, do all that. So there came a time where a lot of people were becoming late from work, coming in, you know, arriving late to work. And, you know, it was like, okay, if you, on your third lateness, you get, you know, a warning, then you get written up. And, I mean, they started firing people because of latenesses. So, you know, a couple of people started butting up with other people, asking them, hey, I'm going to call you. I'm late. I'm running late. I need you to sign me in. I'm on my way. So sign me in so I don't be late. And you had a couple of people start doing this for people. Signing them in with their code, their password, and all this and that, signing people in that was running late to cover them as a friend. And some people got real mad at me because I wouldn't do it. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not. You know, my vision was, what if something happened and they find out I was doing this? I'm going to lose my job. And that's exactly what happened to a couple of people. And I'm going to tell you why what happened. Was a situation, person locked the person in so they wouldn't be late. Person got arrested. But you're already logged in. Who logged that person in? So now they're going to go, the employers, they're going to go pull the record. Because, see, people don't understand, when you work in these high technological places, of everything you do, every keystroke, everything you do is recorded and monitored. So they went in, looked at the system, looked to see what desk, what phone the person was logged into, and it was the person. So it's a couple things. If you were going to be signing somebody in, don't do it from your own desk. So now you got two people that was fired, and here's additional. Oh, because they was fired, they told one of the other people that they knew was also doing it. Consequences of your action. And it was just like, alhamdulillah, I didn't do it. You know, a lot of times these things aren't positive things. These aren't positive things that are being done. They're usually illegal, manipulative, you know, something that's being harmful. You're stealing from your employer when you're logging in and you're not working or you're not there. You know, we will all be held accountable for that. And that's just something that we have to be mindful for. Like, you know, the people who are doing this, they didn't think they were going to get caught. We got a foolproof plan. You know, we could keep doing this until what happened? Person got arrested on their way to work. And then, like, six other people lost their job because the two people who got fired ratted out the other people who was doing it as well. So it doesn't pay. And here's something that, you know, I was reading, you know, why doesn't Allah punish evil in this world? Well, because we know the day of judgment. And it says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 281, and be afraid of the day when you shall be brought back to Allah. Then every person shall be paid what he earned, and they shall not be dealt with unjustly. And I said that. When you seek Tawbah to Allah, freshen, make sure you ask him for forgiveness from the known and unknown. Because there are things that's hidden inside yourself that you need forgiveness for. You may not even think that you need forgiveness for. You probably like, oh, I don't need forgiveness. No, you need to ask Allah for forgiveness for that. You need to ask Allah for forgiveness for that. Because those are the type of things that could weigh heavy on our scale. I'm going to open up the call. If anybody got a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I could put you through. You know, it's this world, we think it's a game, and we think that, you know, we will bypass a lot of things. Things won't happen to us. Some of us are tested way more than others. Way more than others. And, you know, I was having a conversation with a couple of people earlier in a group, and we were just talking about life in general and things like that. And, you know, I tell people, which people don't know because I don't, you know, people say that I'm not private, but I am. It's a lot of things that people don't know, and I use social networks as a platform to, you know, promote the show, to get ideas from people, just to see, you know, what they like, what they want to hear, what they want me to talk about, you know, different things in general. So things that I post on Facebook generally may have something to do with my personal life, but don't directly correlate it to it. Like, don't do it, because it might not even be, you know, accurate, you know. So, you know, I was telling, you know, a sister, you know, about my growing up situation. I'm a victim of child molestation, child rape. I've been homeless. I've been in domestic violence. But I didn't let that define who I am. I took all those situations, and what I did was I used it as a platform to be able to help other people. You can't let those kind of things consume you, because if you let those things consume you, you'll be nothing but a bitter, angry person. Those things will eat you alive. They will just tear you down. And people will tell you, even in my darkest times, I still smile. Like, I can't be a person that's angry all the time. Like, I like to joke and laugh. I like to smile. I like to kid around and things like that. So, like, you'll see me angry, but it don't last for long, because I like to smile. I like to be happy. I like to be jovial. And that's just me. And, you know, I didn't let those things determine who I need to be, or let those things, you know, really hinder me in life. I thank Allah every day for making me Muslim, because without Islam, I tell you, without Islam, I probably wouldn't even be here, because, you know, things in life, if you don't have love for Allah and love for this religion, I mean, holistically, not just doing it because you know, you can make hajj, you can pray. No, I mean really living this deen. And, you know, we all fall off and we all come short sometimes, but it's the way and the manner that we come back to Allah, seeking his forgiveness and trying to be a better Muslim than we were the previous day or the previous week or the previous month, you know, and not turn back to the bad behaviors that we did. Those are the things that are pleasing to Allah from his slaves. I see that somebody has a question. I'm going to put you through.
Assalamu alaikum. It's not a question. I just wanted to say I'm definitely enjoying your show and the topic itself. When you said the things that you've been through and you know, not being a bitter person, you know, not letting the things that you've been through consume you, I find that very interesting, because I believe that a lot of people use the things that they've been to as an excuse to be the person they are.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? Because they may be ignorant or, you know, volatile out the mouth or disrespectful.
Right.
Or you know, for lack of a better term, a scumbag. You know what I mean? So they'll use that as an excuse. I've been through. And I think that was just not, you know, I've been listening probably for about 30, 40 minutes or something like that. I'm not sure. Very interesting. I just wanted to speak on it. And I think you're doing a great job with the show. I just wanted to speak on that. I think that's very interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for your support.
No problem.
And I'll expound on it a little bit about, you know, and that's something, the consequences of your actions, because some people, and the brother probably didn't hear me earlier, the woe is me syndrome. Oh, look what happened to me. This happened to me, so you should help me. You should feel bad for me. And they're playing on your sympathy, because you know what? I know a person that everything is a catastrophe to them. Oh, I lost, and they lie about it, and they lie about it. And it's up to you when dealing with these kind of people. It's up to you to put your foot down and say that I'm not feeding into it. You know, I'm not feeding into it. And again, Allah knows everything that they're doing. Like, they can say, oh, you know, this is the situation. I ain't got no gas, no light in my house. You know, I got all this cut off and I need your help or whatever like that. And, you know, you give them money or you help them out. And you come to find out that that wasn't the situation. Allah is going to deal with them because you're using and manipulating good people. Good people, you're using sadaqah, charity, that could have been beneficial for someone else. Like, you don't even understand the level of the sins that you're incurring. It's not about just deceiving that person or lying to that person. And this is why we have to be mindful the consequences. We don't know. We may say, okay, Allah is going to, you know, take, what, two things. We don't know how our scales are going to be judged and weighed. We don't know this. This is why it's important for us to stay away from those bad things and keep doing the good things, because we don't know how that scale is going to be measured. It could be that one bad thing that you do that gets you into the hellfire. It could be that one good thing that you did that gets you into paradise. So this is why we have to be mindful and remember, anything that somebody bad has done to you, Allah knows. It's not hidden. It's not tucked away somewhere in a corner. It's not tucked away somewhere in somebody's back of their mind. And they're going to be held accountable for it if they have not sought repentance from Allah for it. I mean, and that's just real talk. You know, I see people and, you know, like people like, oh, be careful of the iron. Yes, we need to be careful of the iron. There's a hadith on the iron that talks about two-thirds, and inshallah, anybody wants that dalil on it, I'll get it after this call, inshallah. Just inbox me or contact me on the information I give you once I conclude the call. Two-thirds of the people that are in the grave is because of the ayn. One-third is by Allah's permission. That's deep, because the ayn is real, and people should not, you know, put it off and think that it can't affect them. I recite the dua for the ayn every day, because we mistakenly can do it. And I'll do a show on the ayn. I'll do a complete show because it's deep. It's not like if you study just about the ayn, it's very, very deep and it's very, very detailed. It's very deep and it's very detailed about, you can put the ayn on yourself. You don't even have to say anything with the ayn. You could just look at somebody and cast the ayn upon them. You could hear something and it could trigger something in your heart, inside your chest, and that could be the ayn. The ayn is something real and it's something deep. And these people pray on that because they see what you have that they don't have, and it's not even about that they want to have it. They really don't put no initiative forth to get it. They just want it because you got it. And because you're such a kind-hearted, welcoming person, and I'm not telling nobody not to be kind and welcoming and open-hearted, but tie your camel. Because it's a thing that I do when somebody comes and asks to borrow money from me. And, you know, people don't come and ask to borrow money from me because they know that you're going to have to go through the fifth degree to get my money. I work hard for my money, and I just don't have money to give people, to be giving it to them, because I'm happy and I want to give in sadaqah. You know, I do what I have to do to please the law, but I'm not going to be somebody's fool and let them use and manipulate me. It's a way of tying your camel. And I'll tell you a couple ways that you can get rid of the people who really don't have that good of an intention from the get-go, and you weed them out. You weed these people out because you get to see what their true intentions are and what their true actions are. And this is how I do it. Oh, sister, I'm having an issue, you know, my gas about to get cut off, and I need such and such amount. Can I have your billing information? And you're like, what? What company supplies your gas? I need a 1-800 number. I need your account number, and I need how much you need to pay. Why would I need to get? If you need your, you said your gas is about to get cut off. So I'm not asking for no personal information. I'm not asking for your Social Security number, none of that. I'm asking for the number to the company that supplies your gas, your account number, your name, and your address, and how much you owe. I'll pay it for you. Oh, sister, you ain't had to go through all that. No, then you don't need my money. And that person won't come to you again to ask you. Why? Because they really didn't need it. We have to be mindful of people preying upon good people. We have to be mindful of that because people, like I said, people search and seek out good-hearted people. And don't think that because you gave this person all of your money and all of your hard-earned efforts, that Allah will not reward you for that and not punish them for that. And I'll give you this verse from the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, in verse 185. Everyone shall taste death, and only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted to paradise, he indeed is successful. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception, a deceiving thing. You know, I watch how, you know, a lot of people go about their day and get so distracted with things in this world and don't focus on the hereafter. We are to be travelers in this world, going about our day, but keeping Allah first in anything. I tell people this. I tell people all the time, when you wake up to the time you go to bed, you should keep Allah first in everything that you do. And, I mean, if you keep Allah first, you pray, if you're fasting, you know, there are so many doers, so many sunnah prayers, so many other acts of kindness that we can do for people, to people, with people, to get our scales heavy, but we turn away from them so much. We consider them sunnah. And they're not for it, so I really don't need to do them. I need every barakat I can get. I don't never think that I'm a person out sin, or just because I know I'm not committing any major sins, that, you know, the little sins don't pile up. That's the shaitan deceiving you. That's the shaitan deceiving you. And before I conclude the call, I'm going to tell you this story that I read. I'm not sure if it was hadith. I can't remember, but this was a story that I had read, and it was about a man who became so arrogant about him not committing sin that he started committing major sins. You know, this was a man who was well-known in the community, and, you know, he didn't commit fornication, he didn't drink, he prayed, he did all of this, and, you know, he felt as though that, you know, he would never fall into temptation or commit a major sin because he loved the law so much. Keep note of this, that he would never fall into a major sin because, you know, he loved the law and he knew that if he fell into that, you know, it could, you know, be detrimental to his soul. So, you know, he continued about his day, but he had that arrogance. Not the arrogance that he was better than anybody else. He had the arrogance that, hey, I don't commit no major sins, so I'm good. And something that happened to me started to make me realize that, be careful, Kwa. Be careful, because you don't want to fall into the same situation as this brother did from the story that you read. I can't remember if it was Hadith, so I don't want to say it was Hadith. So the brother went about his day and, you know, things like that. So he started, you know, helping the sister out. And, you know, she was very pious and things like that. And, you know, he just kept helping her out with situations and things like that. And, you know, not enough thinking anything of it. And, you know, he was doing this, you know, helping her out and things like that. Never alone or anything like that. You know, he just kept helping her. But her need for help began to increase. And so, you know, this is the arrogance, because you think that because it's not a major sin that you're not committing a sin. You know, he started to see the sister help out around her house. You know you ain't supposed to be alone with nobody. So, you know, he kept helping out around the house, doing things with the sister, things like that. The shaitan is already involved, because he got you deceived. You're not sleeping with the sister, and you're helping her out. You're helping her out. These are the things we have to be mindful of. So slowly but surely, became a sexual relationship. And the sister said that she was going to expose him and tell everyone what he was doing. He killed the sister. Do you get the moral of the story of a law? Never think that as someone traveling in this world, you won't be tested. Ask the law to make your test easy and swift. And even if they're not, thank the law for getting you through it. Because with every hardship comes ease. We think about situations and think that we're going to last in them forever. And we have people, some people who are weak in faith and take their life because they can't stand it. They can't tolerate it. They don't know how to deal with it. This is why I said, if you come to a situation where it's so hard, you know, just give it to Allah. Don't try to tackle it on your own. Don't try to deal with it. Don't try to understand it. Because everything on this earth, everything happens for a reason. We don't know why. Sometimes we'll know why. Sometimes we will never know why those things happen. And you're like, why, Allah, why would this happen? Like, why would this happen to me? Why did it have to happen? It's a reason for it. It's a reason for it. And one thing I thank Allah for is that he gives me clarity on why things happen the way they do. When something happens, Allah gives me clarity on why it happens. And I understand, and I don't question it. You know, that's something that differentiates us from Christians, because I hear Christians all the time, a death occurs, some calamity. Why would God do this to me? God turned his back on me, like, astaghfirullah, like, how dare you say something like that? Thank Allah for the test. Thank him for the test. Thank him. I thank Allah. Thank you, Allah. Thank you. Thank you. Because you know what? That test could be your ticket to Jannah. That test that you passed could be your ticket to Jannah. Don't question. I don't question God. Whatever Allah allows to befall me, good or bad, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And that's how I look at it. And I always think this. whatever I've been through here on this earth, no matter how bad it has been, no matter how bad it has hurt me, because I've been through some stuff. And some people, you know, my story may not be as bad as some others and vice versa. I always think this. If Allah allows me to even get one foot inside of Jannah, whatever happened on this earth would be worth it. It would be worth it. Whatever bad happened to me here on this earth, it would be totally worth it if I had both feet inside a gate of Jannah. It would be worth it. People don't understand. We don't. This one thing that we don't do, we don't study about what happens after death, because we get scared. We get scared when we start talking about death. When anything with death, like we clam up, we don't want to talk about it, but we know it's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And inshallah, one day soon, I'm going to talk about that, because even I put that off. People always ask me, well, you should talk about janazas, you know, things like that. And it just, I don't like to talk about it, but, you know, in Hadith it says that we should be reminded of death because it keeps us straight. You know that you want to be there, and once you're there, it ain't no more seeking forgiveness from Allah. Unless you got righteous children, you've done some other things like help build the masjid, plant a tree, you know, a couple other things that you continue to give barakats while you're in the grave, but you can't ask Allah for forgiveness. That's it. It's a wrap. It's done. So this is why we, you know, I put it off. I ain't want to talk about it. I mean, nobody wants to face the inevitable that it's going to happen. You know, so it's just something to be mindful of. And leave those people to themselves. I always say that, like, you know, some people will go out and they go kill people and they stab them up and they rob them because they did all this to them, or they break out their windows and things like that. I leave it to Allah, because Allah is a better planner than me, and can't nobody devise a plan better than Allah. So I was like, you know, Allah, and I don't even ask Allah to punish them. I don't even ask Allah, like, destroy. I would never do that. I would never, even to my enemies, I would never say, Allah, just take them away from this earth. I would never say that. I have never said that. Not even people who have done me, I mean, tremendously wrong, hurt me deeply. Allah, may Allah, you fix them. Because they got a serious illness when they want to seriously, purposely hurt somebody. Allah, heal them, because there's something inside of them that's so hurt that they want to reflect that hurt out on the other people. Allah, fix them. Make them better than what they were. And that's my dua. One more time before I get ready to conclude the call, if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013. If you're streaming live, you can go to the chat box and type your question, and I'll be able to take it before we're off the air. If you guys have any events going on in your community, and again, Religion Means Alive is not indicative to just Philadelphia region. I could promote whatever you have in your city, no matter if it's around the world or wherever, because people still listen to the archive episodes of the show, you know, after the broadcast happens. So I could promote whatever event you're having going on. I'm going to have Safal Hawk on Saturday, inshallah. He's going to be promoting his movie, Dean Over Dunya, which will premiere next Thursday at the Pearl Theater in North Philadelphia on Temple's campus. He's selling tickets for the movie, $20 a piece. If you want more information on getting those tickets, I can get you in contact with him, inshallah. So I promote events, anything that you got going on positive in the community, I want to promote it on the show. I could do an interview with you so you could talk about what you're doing. And, you know, I want to keep things positive. I have been reaching out to African-American black males who are doing positive things in and around the city, around the country. I want to interview them because we need to really focus on African-American men. And I know some people may say, oh, you don't like that. I'm not even going to get into that tonight. But I want to show the positive side. You know, we always talk about the negative statistics and things like that, and I have been interviewing African-American successful men who are doing things within the community, giving back to the community. So I want to continue to do that. So if you know someone who is an African-American male and they have a business, a program, anything that's positive, I'll be more than willing to interview them, and you can just get them my contact number and information, and I'll be able to, you know, set that up accordingly, inshallah. And they don't have to be Muslim. They don't have to be Muslim if they're, you know, we don't discriminate here. So, you know, whatever they got going on, I'll be more than willing to do that. If you want to get in contact with me, you got something you want to, you know, get feedback on, anything like that. I take constructive criticism, things that I could do better on the show. You can reach me at 610-836-2120. And that's a cell phone, so you can leave me a voicemail message or send me a text message. If you want to email me, it's qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, and Google Plus. I have a page on Facebook, Religion Means Alive, Quadira section. So you can go there and you can find links to past and previous shows, any new up and coming events and things that I have going on or other things in the community that I'm helping to promote. If you want to go back and listen to shows from the past on Blog Talk Radio, you would just need to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred, all one word. Go to the episode section and just look for my name or the title from previous shows, and you can listen to the archive shows going back to last August, I think, when I started, you know, hosting the actual shows. And last but not least, I thank all my listeners. I love that you guys share and promote the show. This is not some kind of ghetto format. I know they call me the Muslim Wendy Williams, but it's not in a negative way. You know, I'm here to uplift and empower people. I'm not here to degrade people or belittle people. I'm here to try and educate people on Islam and take it from a rhetorical approach to it and, you know, pick it apart so that people can understand it better in layman's terms, so, you know, it's not so constructive, which I think people appreciate more because you're getting down on their level to speak to them. A lot of times people speak to you. I mean, too many times people speak at you but not to you. And I think that's where a lot of people appreciate different approaches to things. So, again, I thank everybody for listening and joining and promoting the show. Stay tuned for new up-and-coming exciting things. I'm always trying to figure something different out to do for the show, so I'll keep you guys posted. Inshallah, we're going to start doing some, like, trivia and some giveaways. So, inshallah, stay tuned. I appreciate you guys for joining. Assalamu alaikum, and have a great evening.